The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dream. I'm a traveler of all time and space. To be where I have been. Sit with elders of the gentle race. This world is seldom seen. Talk of days for which they sit and wait.
Welcome aboard, everyone. You are listening to Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. We are a marina on the beautiful St. Croix River. And off to my left side here, I have...
My name is John Tetzlaff with Tetzlaff Yacht Sales, 575 Main Street North. Our website is TetzlaffYachtSales.com. And the website, I think I just said, I'm sorry, you can contact us at 651-214-9463. Again, that's 651-214-9463.
And Eric, I should probably throw in my contact information. That might be a good idea also, huh? My email address is wolfmarine.net. I'm sorry, info at wolfmarine.net. My website is wolfmarine.net. You can reach me at area code 651-439-2341. I think the heat has got to us here, John.
Well, you know, I've heard a couple I'm sorry's in there from both you and me. I'm sure, hey, we're the professionals here. You know, we were trained to do this all our life. I think when I was in the 10th grade, I said, I'm going to do a boating show because I'm going to be a yacht broker. I should say a Tetzlaff sales yacht broker, but no, just kidding there. We're not professionals. We're just out here to give some people some good information about boating, maybe some stories, and bring up some new laws and have some good guests.
Absolutely. Stan Turner, we are not, right?
Yeah, we should listen more to Stan.
That's
so we'd get more of that karma wearing off on us.
Yeah, but, and today is, we're actually recording this, so today is Friday. It's a beautiful day, and I tell you what, this weekend is sure looking like it's complete boating weather for the boaters. So I'm telling you, if you don't have a boat, or if you do have a boat and don't have a place to put it, I know a great place. We're only 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, and I do have some overnight stuff that's still available. So if you have a trailer boat, get down there. It's $40 a night. It's going to be a great weekend. You don't want to be the person that sitting at home with the boat in the driveway and wishing you were out on the water or trying to fight your way on the public access. And if you don't have a boat, I know a guy that's probably got one for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't cut yourself short there. You got some slips available for some bigger boats that hopefully maybe I can sell to a client and they can bring them in there. Or you know what, if they're coming up from Red Wing, which you know what, they should come up here from Red Wing because like you said before, we our Stillwaterites are always traveling down to Red Wing. Come on up and talk to Eric and get a slip for the weekend there. Or if you don't have a boat, well, I guess I can probably find one for you, and we can get that in one of your slips.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we have slips available, anything from 16 to 15 foot, so we can accommodate most everybody. So, you know, if you've got something out there, hey, give us a call.
And, you know, I've got some ideas. You know, we had this Stillwater boating incident now last week where somebody tried to scoot underneath the bridge when it was lowering. And look at all the havoc that created by having – I'm going to call the guy a bozo because, you know what, there's very few bozos out on the river. But when that guy does do that silly thing – it shut down the bridge for what, 4 or 5 hours?
It did, yes.
Yeah. Yep. And what happens to the people on the one side of the bridge that have to get to the other side, back to the marina, return their other, whatever they're doing, and vice versa? And what about all the folks that are going home to work from the Minnesota side to the Wisconsin side and back and forth and all, you know, look at the havoc that created.
Yeah, not to mention that, you know, if there was an emergency for the emergency vehicles going back and forth from Minnesota to Wisconsin,
vice versa,
I mean, ambulance, you're down for 4 hours. It's a long ways away if you had to go Hudson or Osceola. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... things that, you know, maybe some boaters aren't educated enough to know exactly the proper procedure for going underneath a lift bridge.
I don't think they do, and like you you and I discussed prior to the show, we thought that we're going to have a guest, maybe not, maybe a bridge operator, but maybe the bridge operator's boss that's going to fill us in on exactly how it operates, why it operates, and maybe I think I've got an idea that might cure it.
Hey, I'm all ears.
Here's my thought. So you get a red light, you get a green light. Pretty self-explanatory. Red light, you stop. Green light, you go. I think we should have a mandatory speed limit or max on the approach to the bridge, and I would say idle speed. So you're driving along. The bridge goes up. It's green. You go, but you're going to go at 5 miles an hour because if that red light comes on, you're going to stop. So at idle speed and you have to stop, that's not a big deal at all.
No.
So the bridge is going down, red light's on, nobody goes under the bridge. I don't care how close you are. I don't care if you're 5 feet away from getting underneath that bridge. You stop. If you don't stop, I think they should put a camera system on there so they, you know, like they do on the highway, they can record any of the bozos, and I'm going to call them a bozo because look what happens when they don't follow the rules. They're going to record that boat. And they're going to get a hefty fine. You know what? I don't want anybody to get a fine. I don't want to get a fine. You don't want to say it, but look at all the havoc that is created when these guys aren't following the rules.
That is correct. And we have to also assume that that the bridge operator did have the red light on. And I'm sure there's many of you boaters out there that don't even notice it. When you are passing underneath the bridge, there is a red and a green light.
Yep.
As you're waiting there, the bridge is in the down position. You're going to see a red light. Once the bridge is fully opened and stopped, the bridge operator should turn the red light to green, and that means safe passage underneath.
You know,
and I've, truth be told, I have not that I've gone under a red light, but I have had a bridge operator on the Stillwater Bridge as I was I guess you could call it a professional captain operating an excursion vessel. I had to remind the bridge operator at one point in time that, hey, I cannot pass, even though the bridge is fully opened and stopped, I cannot pass underneath that bridge until the light is green. And at that point, I'm sure it just slipped his mind at the time, but at that point he did turn the light green, and that means safe passage, and away I went.
Yeah. And when I said they should have it, I meant maybe what they need is a bigger red light and a bigger green light, and they need some education. And I think the approach at idle speed is huge. But once that red light comes on, it's a no-go. You just stop and you don't go. And if somebody does and they have a camera system on there, they're going to record it and they're going to get a hefty fine. The other question I have is, now, when that incident happened, was the bridge operator aware that there was a boat that was still coming close? And if he was aware, is he able to stop that bridge? And if he was, why didn't he?
Yeah, and I don't know the situation either. But
yeah.
I don't know if he was if the boat was approaching from the south or the north. I don't know if he was upbound, downbound. If he was upbound from the south side heading north, the bridge operator shack is on the north side of the bridge, and he cannot see the boats approaching from the south. So if that was the case, I could understand that.
Sure.
But nevertheless, yeah, I mean, most of those bridge operators are great to deal with. I mean, mm-hmm. You call them, you keep in contact with them on the radio, tell them who you are, your boat size, this and that, and they're willing to work with you. If you're running a little bit late, you know, they'll hold it for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't expect to be down in front of Sunnyside or the new bridge there and say, well, I'm coming at 2 miles an hour, hold the bridge for me. He won't do that, I'm sure, but nevertheless, they're great people to deal with, and I think they're willing to work with you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And to go further a little bit further, you had mentioned what side the booth is on. I'm wondering if they need to just, you know, get out and watch and see what's going on. If it's on the wrong side, maybe they need to get up and they need to have a, maybe a camera system of their own that they can watch in the booth. Because I think they need to be aware, because if there is, and I'm going to say it again, a bozo that's not following the rules, and that bridge is going down, and that bridge operator can stop it, well, they need to stop it. But here I'm going to go a little bit further on the fines. If that's the case, and the bridge operator actually has to stop that bridge because there's a silly guy going under it, I think the fine is tripled, because right there you have to stop the dang bridge. You've got to back up traffic even more. And again, like you said, emergency services. I'm seeing Lakeview paramedics going back and forth on that bridge a lot. And I'll tell you what, if it was my loved one in that paramedic in that ambulance, and they had to be rerouted because of some guy that wasn't following the rules, man, that would be real sad.
Yeah, it would be. And from what I all the information that I've had, it's not off of police reports and that, so it's all kind of secondhand news, I guess we could call it. But I have been told that he is receiving a fine.
Well, good. And I think that needs to be known. And I think if there seems to, it needs to be a little bit more education that needs to be brought out. You know what? Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. We're going to bring it, because we're going to bring the bridge people out here. I'm going to ask them to think about my camera system and maybe getting a bigger light system and having that slow approach so people aren't going 20 miles an hour and have to automatically stop real fast when that red light comes on.
Or better yet, as we had talked off the air, and I know that some people are not in favor of it, but John and I say, let's get rid of the old bridge. It's time to either open a section up for the boaters. Once the new bridge is in operation, here the traffic is going over the new bridge, to us it's a no-brainer. I don't know how much it's going to cost to maintain, operate, keep it going, but you know, everybody likes the Stillwater Bridge. I think they come down to downtown Stillwater to look at it and that, but it's time to start thinking about the boaters a little bit on this issue. You know, we've had to deal with this bridge for, you know, since what was it, 1920 something. And prior to that, it was a swing bridge, which none of us were around, of course, then. But
well, I wasn't around in 1920 either. But
but nevertheless, we still had to deal with bridges.
Yeah.
You know, basically, the old Stillwater Bridge is not going to be, it won't have a purpose other than for pedestrians. All right. The Coast Guard, hopefully, will start thinking, all right, boaters should have the right-of-way. According to maritime law, the boaters should have the right-of-way, and it's time to either put this thing on on a schedule that's going to open for the boaters on request, or possibly
shut her down.
Yeah.
Shut her down. Yep. Because look at the traffic it still creates on the weekends. When that bridge goes up, I mean, the traffic on 95 is going to go past 36 again. It's not going to really change that much on the weekends. It's still going to create that traffic. And look at the businesses downtown Stillwater that would just benefit from having more boaters coming into town and spending money on their restaurants and not having to worry about traffic and all that. Yep, I think, Eric, you and I have the plan. We need to shut that bridge down.
I think you're right. I'd love to see it, but that's going to be a decision that's going to be made, I'm sure, by probably the Coast Guard and people that are probably a little better educated than we are on the subject.
But, a little bit higher up the ladder and everything.
Yeah, we all have an opinion, and I think it's time for the U.S. Coast Guard to start listening to our boaters and to us. You know, I think it's time.
I think so, too. And according to our expert engineers here and recording experts at KLBB, we're running out of time on the first half of our show. So we're going to say we'll be right back.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. By being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. If you are thinking about getting out on the water in a nice used boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you are looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else, and with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. I'm going to take a breath. Boy, we were kind of into that first half of the show. That was pretty cool, I thought. But anyway, John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, 651-214-9463. Website, TetzloffYachtSales.com. If we don't have it, we'll find it.
Yeah. And I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We're located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96 on the beautiful St. Croix River. We are a marina. We do have slips available from sizes 16 foot to 50 foot. We can be reached at area code 651-439-2341. Check us out on the web, wolfmarine.net, or send us an email, info@wolfmarine.net.
Yes, and I think, Eric, you were going to say something about, give us a little update on Sophia's Law.
We do. We have a little update on it. There is a delay of the Sophia's Law. I'll just kind of read it off here. It says, new effective date for the law will be May 1st, 2018, and that's for the carbon monoxide law for boaters. It was amended, enacted with the effective date of May 1st, 2018, effective retroactively to April 30th of 2017. That was the bulletin that they had sent out. So, again, that law has been delayed till May 1st of 2018. However, if you want a suggestion, I would be a little proactive on the law and get those detectors. We do have them in stock now. They're $124.99. So I have them in stock at the marina. Be proactive. You would hate to have something happen and say, darn it, I wished I would have that detector in there. Even though it's not the law now, let's be proactive. Go out, get the things, get them in the boat. You'll be all set for next year.
Because it is going to be the law, and just because it isn't law now, you hate to have that worst-case scenario pop up, like Eric said. I saw on a couple other boating publications where they had told everybody that it had to be a hardwired system, and it does not. It can be the battery-operated system. And what I found out is that because the carbon monoxide is a higher floating, lighter gas,
it's heavier.
You don't have to put the detectors up near the ceiling anymore. You can put them down low where they're maybe not as visible, but still doing this probably a better job because, like it is, it's heavier than air. It's going to hit it quicker.
Yeah, I would think. And I haven't even opened a box yet, so I haven't read any of the instructions. But I'm sure the instructions now. We are talking about the battery-operated ones right now also, for the $124.99.
Yeah.
And those were the ones that originally were recalled. They have been tested and approved, so they are approved. But, I would definitely read the directions on them and see where they recommend mounting them. If you can mount them on a wall or on the ceiling, I'm not even sure. But, yeah, it would make sense that you could possibly mount them lower. It would make sense to me.
Yeah. And, I'm going to touch a little bit on surveys, when people are buying boats, and I'm going to give a couple examples of why you really need to have a survey done on your boat. I had a boat down, and let me kind of tell a little story about why I have a boat in Clinton, Iowa. About 7 years ago, I sold a 47-foot blue water to a gentleman, and he brought the boat back home down to Bettendorf, Iowa, at the little casino down there. And he called me about a year and a half ago, said, We're retired now, and we're going to sell the boat, and we'd like to have you sell it. So I said, no problem. So the boat was down in Bettendorf, Iowa, but at the casino there, they don't store boats, so he brought it to Clinton to winter the boat and store it there. So anyway, went down there, ended up selling the boat during the winter, and as I was getting ready to leave, the marina manager ran out and said, John, he goes, we need your services here. We've got boats for sale, and we don't have anybody good to sell them down here. And I said, well, I could probably do that. But I ended up getting some nice boats. I had as an example, I had a 2006 50-foot Gibson with 71 hours on it. Not hard to find the newer Gibsons out there, especially with the low hours on it. So that was a nice one. I had another Gibson. It was a 47-foot 1999 Gibson Sport, again, with real low hours on it. And, you know, just as an example, but I've sold everything that I have down there. But anyway, got a boat down there, and he had the buyer. It was a 36-foot Holiday Mansion, very popular,
okay, yep.
Nice boats. And he had everything checked out there by the surveyor, and you know, they took it out, and everything was fine. And he said, Do you think I should do a sea trial? You know, when we go down there to close on it. And I said, you know, why not? I would do a sea trial. You know, I know you had everything checked out, but let's just do it one more time. So we took it out, and everything was fine. We're pulling it back into the slip, and the reverse on one of the drives went out. It wasn't the drive itself. It was the cabling system.
Sure.
But he had a crew of guys. He was going to bring it back to Red Wing. It was going to be a 4 or 5 day trip. Real lucky that we went ahead and did the sea trial, as it was stated in the agreement, because who knows, inexperienced boater. I mean, we taught him, you know, told him a lot of what was going on. He had a nice crew, but good thing that we did, because he could have been 50, 60 miles up the river without one engine.
Yeah, and you don't want to be pulling into a lock without one engine, that's for sure. I mean, you have two engines on a boat that size for a reason.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But, you know, still, I mean, they're made for two. It's a little difficult to drive those bigger boats. I mean, you can, but obviously it's a lot easier with the two that come with it.
Absolutely. And when they're designed for twin engines, you have to remember, you know, they are offset. They're not directly in the middle. So,
yeah.
You know, the boats that have the single that are that size, they have the engine in the middle, which, you know, it makes it handle much better on one motor if it's in the middle. If it's off to one side, you know, it's always going to want to push you to one way. So,
well, for
yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's very helpful to have that second motor when they're offset like that.
Yeah, yeah. And good news for the seller. I mean, he's going to get it fixed down there, and the buyer is still buying the boat. I mean, that's part of a deal. I mean, the offers are contingent on surveys and sea trials, and, you know, something comes up, they're going to fix it. I mean, it's not that they're going to say, you know, go, you know, I'm not going to fix it. They're going to have to fix it to sell it either way, not to the current owner, but or a buyer. But, you know, they're going to fix it. So, yeah, you've got to do the surveys and you got to do the sea trials.
Absolutely. And that's like anything else that's used. You know, things can go wrong. You hope that they don't. And in many cases, they don't. I mean, you know, that thing could have ran another 20 or 30 years without having to replace a cable. But, thankfully for the new owner that it did happen, and things were repaired and fixed the way they were supposed to be.
And they were pretty happy that it happened, because it would have happened. If it didn't happen there, it would have happened on the way up.
Yeah,
so.
And that's not a major thing either. I mean, it's not like you're losing a motor where the motor is blowing up or something like that.
Exactly.
It's just a shift cable. Sometimes the longer ones are hard to find, so, you know, not everybody has a 40-foot shift cable in stock, so in that case, you might have to have it shipped in, you know, next day or whatever, but...
And that's the case.
It's not a major thing, but yeah, it's great that it happened there, and it was fixed, and everybody's happy.
For sure. Another one I want to bring up is, you know, I had a boat, I'm not going to say the boat or anything, and this is just what happens. It's a sad thing, but a very meticulous owner, had a real nice older Sea Ray, and I had it sold to a gentleman on the east part of Michigan, and he was going to have it trailered. He had bought a trailer. He bought a bigger truck to bring it back. And anyway, he brought the boat in to have the guys check it out at the marina. And again, the owner, super, super meticulous about taking care of the boat. It's an older boat, but just beautiful and records. But he winterized the boat on his own. And they brought the boat in, and you can guess it. What happened?
Broken block.
Yep, two of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so something wasn't done right. But again, you know what? It was part of the offer where he was going to have it checked out. They found it. But here's my other thought is, you know, I don't do my own winterization because I just don't know what I'm really doing. I have the marina do it. I have the whoever the mechanic do it. They know what they're doing because they do it every day. You know, during winter, fall season, they know what they're doing. And worst case scenario, if they mess something up, they're going to have to take care of it.
Yeah, and they know what they're doing. That's the thing, and that's probably one of the most expensive things that could happen on a boat. And I see it happen occasionally. People try to do things their own. I love to do stuff myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my gig. I like to get my hands dirty in the engine compartment.
You're an expert, though.
Well, I've done a couple.
You are an expert, though. So that's one thing.
I have done a few, but nevertheless, any of my customers, I always recommend, have a certified mechanic take care of your winterization, especially the engines. Mm-hmm. That's major, major, major. I don't know what it costs, but offhand, but it's an insurance policy. So something were to happen, if your block were to break or your oil cooler or whatever it might be, the mechanics are responsible for that. So, then they have to come in and fix it. And it's a costly thing. I'll bet you that, just the smaller engines, I got to believe they're running $7,000-$8,000.
Yeah, I don't. It's,
or better, maybe.
It ain't cheap. And it's sad. I mean, you don't want that to happen to anybody. And talking about the professionals and the experts that do it, they'll make a mistake once in a while. They're human, but for all the ones that they do, it's very rare that happens. But again, they've got the insurance and they've got the skill that they can get in there and they're going to take care of that issue for you.
Yeah, and I can't honestly, I can't think of one engine that the mechanics down at the marina have made a mistake on where they actually broke a block. I have heard of like an oil cooler or something mm-hmm. like that was missed.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
And, that'd break. It's not a block on a motor. So, definitely spend the extra money to have it winterized correctly.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, you do. That's when you hear of this happening. It's when the owner's doing it themselves. And, when they're all done, and I know when I do my own stuff, you feel so good about it. You did it yourself and everything. But, boy, oh, boy, this guy just lost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars now. He's not going to be able to sell the boat right now. And they may, it's an older boat, and it's possible that they may just total the boat. I don't know.
They very well could, yeah. What a shame, when you have someone that's taking care of a boat like that, meticulously, and then have something like that happen. It's just, it's terrible. But
I'm sure they're sick.
I don't think we should be talking about winterizing boats when we're going to be hitting 100 degrees here this weekend, what they call heat index. And it's going to be boating weather, guys. Let's get out on that water and enjoy it. I think the water temperature is probably getting to be where it's bearable to go in the water. I'd still throw on a life jacket or a ski vest or something like that, but I think it's going to be there where you're going to be able to start swimming now and enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember sometimes in July that water gets up to, mid-80s?
Yeah,
because the water's so shallow, it doesn't take much to heat it up, and boy, it gets up to be that warm, and sometimes it's almost not refreshing, but you know what? It's still refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give me that stuff.
Yeah, and it's June here yet, so... Yeah. Nevertheless, it's going to be a great weekend. If you get a chance, I think we touched on it earlier, you got to get out. This is the weekend for it. So we don't have that many nice weekends up in the 90s. You have to take advantage of it when it's there.
Oh, definitely. And, we talked about a couple negatives. You know what? Negatives are rare. It's the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that happen by mechanics and brokers and marine owners that, nobody says anything because when the good stuff happens, you just assume it. Nothing really happens. The only time you're going to hear things a lot of times, unfortunately, is when something negative happens.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't hear about all the good times. occasionally, I guess you do, but there's more good times than there are bad, that's for sure.
It's not even close.
No,
so, it's but, not. Anyway, you know what? I just got the signal from our expert technician here at KLBB Radio downtown Stillwater, and I just say, how proud I am to be part of the KLBB Radio show, and I'm sitting next to Wolf Marine here, another Stillwater guy, and I'm a Stillwater guy. We have three Stillwater entities right here. We're making it happen in the boating community. We're I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I am too. And we are coming down to just towards the end of the show. And so I want to get my promo in here. I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. Give us a call, 651-439-2341. Let's see you down there this weekend.
and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. TetzloffYachtSales.com, 651-214-9463. Thanks, everybody.